The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
Uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
In the 1990s, Vince McMahon became a full-time character on WWE programming, portraying the evil boss.
That was a character?
Boys. But behind the scenes, Vince McMahon was embroiled in a real-life battle for the livelihood of his company as he went toe-to-toe with Ted Turner as what became known as the Monday Night War.
And the Monday Night Wars were a very real time in this.
War.
There's only one war.
One war.
Sorry.
Get that right.
It's on the prompter with an S. Not my fault.
It is, actually. I'll be darned, yeah.
It's war.
For those of you in the truck, it is on there with the S.
Wait. No, there's an S right
okay,
there.
But look behind
right there. Look, there's an S.
And I got
there. Right there, there's an S.
Yep. Can you?
And he got scolded 30 minutes ago. There's no S.
Vindicated.
There's an S right there, Mr.
Vindicated. Whichever writer wrote that, it's even a capital S now, you know who you are.
You're fired.
And the catchphrases are coming back in. You're fired. Monday Night Wars were a very real time, and I said
you
the S
still said wars.
I'm saying it with an S.
Let's say wars. All of them with S. Monday's Night's War.
Yes. It's a very real time in the businesses.
Hurry up, Triple H's!
Thank you, HBKs.
Growing old is mandatory. Growing up is optional. Signed, DX. But they've got a lot to jump up and down about, not just that one S. We don't have an S at the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I don't have an S in my name, but... A couple people in my panel have S's in their names. We'll start with the man who orchestrated this wonderful intro, Mr. Jims Williams.
Thanks, yous, Nikki's. Much is appreciated. I can't keep doing that. That's impossible. Great to be here. Happy New Year again, everybody, in case I didn't say it to you last time. But hey, I just did. But it's going to be a happy new year for WWE fans with a big thing we're going to talk about momentarily.
And somebody who would have fun with all the technology involved with this big announcement, that would be Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Ah, wait a minute. Wait. I'm alive? Is my pulse showing?
Paddles clear.
Oh my God, this is the first time I've actually been on since November.
And you lived.
Wait. Well, actually, yeah. Yeah, it's... Man, it's been way too long.
And we're just glad to have you here.
You survived Chris Mahana, Kwanzaa, Ramadanica, and you got the 90% off candy. Good job by you.
And somebody who also has a little tidbit that's going to be going into our big announcement, all the way down in the Sunshine State that had some 30-degree temperatures in this chilly week, you lucky bastards.
I want to hear it.
Chris Waters.
All right, how you doing, everybody? I'm doing well, but there's two things. Now that we got DX being doofuses again, and we've gotten me going to a certain show down that's very often filmed down here, when are we going to get the debut edition of Ambrose Alley?
Yes. And trust me, the gears were going in Dean Ambrose's head while he was doing that. And then he forgot completely about it during the main event.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
I just got to do this real quick, then we'll get to the big announcement. Because one of the funniest things I saw on Old School Raw, you know, first the miracle of seeing Jake the Snake Roberts among the 24 legends or so that showed up on the show, Jim.
Yeah. DDP is assured knight, sainthood, I should say. And maybe knighthood, you never know.
And so Statboy, he shows up and he comes to the ring. He finds an unconscious Ambrose. And what does he do? He dumps revelations on him.
Not only that, but did you happen to see somebody's face?
Not only did he smile, he kissed the damn snake.
Send for the man!
So, but Chris, it's just seeing Roberts on the show, first of all, is nothing short of a miracle, and Ambrose seems pretty much is modeled a bit after classic Roberts.
Yeah, it must have been a great moment for him, not only for the Roberts thing, but with the Piper thing, because some people have compared him to that, too. And, it was great to see Roberts there and looking a lot better than he did last time he appeared on the show. I've seen a comparison picture. I mean, hair dye can only go so far, for crying out loud.
Exactly. He no longer looks like a member of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. He actually looks like himself again.
He looks better than he did for a lot of his wrestling career when you get right down to it.
True.
I mean, you know, I haven't seen him look like that ever, quite frankly, and I mean that as a compliment.
Closest as I've seen him looking like that was looking way, way back when he wrestled at WrestleMania 2, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So now on to the biggest thing that has happened this week, where the S will be applied at the beginning of a statement, simply shut up and take my money.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the person whose number you were supposed to slip in. Oh, well, that comes later. Okay.
Huh?
Move on. I'll explain later.
Okay. In Las Vegas earlier this week, we actually got to see at International CES, WWE has finally announced what we thought was the biggest pile of vaporware in any form of entertainment history, the WWE Network. I paused briefly, because Gene Aguilera will ask me to do this even in his absence.
Wrong!
Jim, you and me and Jason and Carl sat there and watched the whole live presentation. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to get your jaw off the floor?
Well, I didn't go holy with the jaw dropping, but I was impressed, I'll say that much. What you initially, and I think rightfully so, thought was vaporware has just pretty much become alienware, if I may make the 180. Does that work for you?
That works, yeah, for me, because Statboy, you know, they essentially, I think it's something they've actually been preparing for the last few years, in the sense that they've had people hired just to get all of their content digitized.
Indeed, I remember hearing of that back in, like, what, 2011? About the same time they were starting to film stuff for the network, a la Legends House.
Right. So, the fact that they have taken the entirety of their library, not just their WWE library, the WCW library, the ECW library.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
ECW.
World-class championship wrestling. Yes, they preserved it.
Yes.
And any other tape library that they have access to.
Which is about 75% of all of it out there now.
Correct. And, you know, they didn't go too big on the Gaga. I mean, DX went out there and were themselves. Mm-hmm. For the sake of argument, quit fighting with your microphone, Chris. We had Stephanie actually being reasonably serious about this. And, well, actually, Chris, we've discussed on other shows about a price point, and they're saying that we can dig through all of that content, complete, uncut, and uncensored.
key.
From the comfort of your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, your smart TV, if you're rich enough to own one, Roku, if you know what the hell that is. $10.
I'm going to say this right now. I don't care what my financial situation is. I am paying for it.
The one of the things we had discussed during the live broadcast, Jim, and I'm going to bring this up after I thought about it. This is still going to be good money for the WWE because they probably were only making $10 a buy on the pay-per-views because they were still going through on demand.
Well, you have to also factor in how much money in the cost of a pay-per-view price goes to the company and the providers and what have you. They're trying to get it up straight up supply demand. More people will get in at $10 than will get in at $50 or $60. That's just plain old simple logic. And keep in mind, you're getting all the pay-per-views, and of course we have to put up the disclaimer, 6-month commitment with the $9.99. You're getting all the pay-per-views, WrestleMania and the, you know, so on and so forth through the calendar, and you're getting access to the quote-unquote live schedule, which is live, but it isn't live, in that if you tune in late, you can click the start from the beginning button and just start from the beginning. So it's like a combo live on-demand schedule, if you will, plus the thousands of hours of stuff they have in archives. Jason Bloxu, who is in our conference, is in the chat room, and we should bring this up right here as well. With the news that WWE is going to this next level, pay-per-view level, shall we call it,
mm-hmm.
DirecTV is threatening to drop all WWE pay-per-view events altogether. And we talked about this on the special podcast, which, if it isn't up by the time you're listening to it, will be up soon enough on CLW83.com. And I asked you, Nikki, will this eventually, in a couple of years' time, if this takes off, be the end of the, as we've known it for 30 years, pay-per-view product that WWE puts out? And you said yes.
It's going to be, because WWE has finally accomplished something that I think they've been trying to do in one form or the other for the past 30-plus years, and that is have 100% control of their content. Since they own the libraries, they don't have to do any kind of, they don't have to censor anything. So they don't have to deal with the British branch of the Panda Brigade. They have access to, they have all these libraries that they know everybody wants to go play in. They've got their current shows. They've, you know, tested the waters with the app. They've tested the waters with Tout. And they've, and people gave them, you know, gave them all kinds of input. And what are we getting? We're getting pretty much everything we wanted.
And a little bit more, I think, in many respects. This, and I talked to Jason about this beforehand. Uh-huh. This takes the Netflix model and takes it next level, I think, in that it's custom tailored to the genre, to the wrestling fan, if you will. And one of the other key things about this is the people that are going to be backing the play of WWE, and that would be MLB Advanced Media.
And that's why I had you on, for your Touch 'Em All plug, and you probably know a little bit more about this than I do.
MLB Advanced Media has been around for about 13 years now, going back to 2000, 2001, give or take. And they're the people behind MLB At Bat, MLB.TV, and such. They're, in my eyes, the leaders when it comes to live streaming telecasts on the internet. They do it thousands of times a year, and they have their stuff archived virtually a couple of hours after games happen, and the games are still up there. In fact, I still have my account from this past season, and throughout the entire offseason, I have access to every game, home, away, feeds, home and away radio, everything synced up beautifully and properly. These people know what the hell they're doing. To have the backing of them as a partner in this is huge. It gives it a massive amount of legitimacy into what they're going to be doing. You couldn't pick a better partner, if you ask me.
Yeah, they've got people. They've found people that know what they're doing. They've digitized their entire library. there's been an update, I believe, on the disclaimer, because one of my sticking points, and I will continue to bring it up, I'm sorry, this is a big sticking point with me, Benoit. They are actually putting a disclaimer in, something along the lines of, remember that this is a fictional character.
It's a trade-off, Nikki. It's a trade-off for getting to see things as they were intended to be.
Exactly. And that's what I'm okay with that. You can put that little disclaimer up. I will wave at it. And then I will watch what I originally witnessed. Now, they made that explicitly clear at this presentation. Although they had Mr. DTA say it. Statboy, should I hesitate?
Not really, to be perfectly honest. Because I don't know exactly how to say it, really.
Okay.
But you shouldn't really need to hesitate, because we're finally getting everything that we've been wanting, especially with the whole Benoit deal.
Right, and that's, like I said, that had been my biggest sticking point from going all the way back. You know, I hate to harp on a topic. I really hate to harp on a topic, but this has been one of my biggest berserk buttons for the last 4 or 5 years, because one of their on-demand things actually had Michael Cole straight-faced lie to the camera and lie to the audience to say that Benoit footage was destroyed. Jim, in a legitimate sports world, in the world of the real sports, in that multi-billion-dollar industry, you can't do that.
Like with the O.J. Simpson stuff back in the 90s. You can't just, you know, do, and we've seen the YouTube video of the moment where Benoit and Guerrero are hugging in the ring after they both win championships, and Benoit is completely outlined and grayed out.
Yeah.
In like a video version of Photoshop, paintboxed or whatever out of the thing. You can't do that with NFL Films footage of O.J. Simpson running down the sideline for the Buffalo Bills in the 1970s. It just doesn't jive. Where it's sports entertainment, where it's wrestling, where it's, you know, entertainment first and everything else second, they figure, oh, we can get away with lying a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, you can't, because this isn't the day and age of, ooh, you have to get the dirt sheets to learn everything. No, everybody's a lot hipper and wiser and know better. So it was just a dumb move to do that from Jump Street.
I mean, I get why they had to distance themselves. They're a publicly traded company, and they didn't want to associate themselves. I 100% understand that.
Chris, actually, you have a good question. Bring it up.
What's that?
The question I had about the uncut footage, though, is, well, there are some songs that WWE does not own, specifically thinking about the first WrestleMania, as well as pretty much all the ECW library of the classic ECW, where they used songs like the original Enter Sandman or Perfect Stranger for Shane Douglas and so forth and so on. Will they be able to use that on their app, or will they still have to dub those over?
That I don't know, but I know that the evil boss could come up with a real quick solution to that Enter Sandman one. All he's got to do is call Lemmy and say, hey, you did a cover of this song. I have said cover, and it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as creepy, but it's good.
Mm.
But you don't need creepy when it comes to the freaking Sandman's entrance.
He does it on his own.
Loud.
Kane swinging, beer swilling freak that he is, God bless him.
You just need everybody in the audience singing along with it.
In sync. Thank you very much.
And we were. Yes. Oh, we did.
Oh, my goodness.
2005, thank you so much. Anyway.
There are going to be some replacements. I mean, if you've seen anything from Classics on Demand, there are replacements. If you've seen anything from the quote-unquote home video library, there are replacements. There are going to be some. I think that's inevitable.
Yeah. Music is excusable, personally.
Right. I mean, you're not going to get Phil Collins and Philip Bailey to say, okay, we're going to put Easy Lover back in. Doubt it.
No. So, I had Jason dig me up a article, and I'm going to see if I can read this correctly. I almost wish Tom was on the broadcast tonight because I wanted to see how far I could get before he would die of laughter.
Don't worry, his bastardized cousin's right here.
Hi, how you doing? Yes.
Okay, gentlemen, strap in. Jason's already read this. I will try to read it in the same voice. The WWE Network. It's tempting if you're not a fan of grown men grappling to dismiss the announcement of WWE's digital streaming network. Don't. It's our best glimpse yet of what the future of television should look like. Let's try to get across how big and how good a deal the WWE Network is. Here's a brief description. We're going to take the word wrestling out. In its place, swap in anything you love. Sports, genres, individual channels, ponies.
Hey, you know what? You're taking liberty with the article. Continue.
I'm embellishing.
Just like a Heyman.
It says animals. I thought I'd be a little more specific.
Why not dogs? Why not cats?
Because why not cat dog? You?
Hey, I like cat dogs.
Definitely not cat dog. Pony. Anyway.
Because it doesn't annoy you, Jim. That's why.
Just whatever your niche. Get that little niche in your head. Okay. Here's a streaming network that offers you a 30-year back catalog of thing you love. Add in free access to live thing you love. Events that normally cost in the neighborhood of $45 a pop and happen regularly once a month. On top of that, toss in some goofy original content about thing you love. Every reality show format you can think of reframed to specifically target thing you love. In a way that feels like a fever dream of access and delight. You can access this network on nearly any device that you own perpetually just a few clicks away from thing you love. Streaming in 720p HD. 1080 pending. And it only costs $10 a month. For the right person who the WWE is targeting, that's insane. For the rest of us, it's a clear-eyed look at what a la carte television utopia could be.
Thank you.
I don't even have to finish reading the article.
You don't.
That's all you need to know.
This is something that has been bandied about for probably the last 10 or 15 years big time. The concept of the a la carte, television setup. And how cable companies are extremely resistant to this because, ooh, we won't get as many profits. Well, guess what? If you, the cable companies, the Charters, the Comcast, the Time Warners don't want to do it, that's okay. The companies that provide the content themselves, they'll just provide it for you. They'll just do it themselves and do it better than you probably could and eat you out of house and home soon enough.
The networks, the major networks are already doing this to a limited extent through their own websites.
True. And a lot of their stuff is free with a couple little ads here and there.
Yeah. But WWE is offering you such a big, they're giving you the combination to the vault.
Mm-hmm.
$10 a month, six-month commitment, meaning for the price of 1.5 pay-per-views, you get the Mania to SummerSlam corridor, all of those pay-per-views, and then access to pre-show and post-shows for Raw and SmackDown, and I'll get to you in a second, Chris, Superstars, main event, of course, and a handful of their reality programming. Now, Chris, you managed to find a way to get up to Full Sail and see an NXT taping in person, where you actually saw the evil boss Dr. Levesque come out and speak.
I saw the evil boss Dr. Levesque come out about 3 or 4 times that night, yes. And he had a special announcement about the network, about NXT specifically.
Okay.
On February 27th, which will be a few days after the network launches, there will be a live streamed NXT, meaning it will go, as they're watching in the arena, it will go up on the WWE network of NXT. And they are building it up to be a major card. Now, for the people listening who do not want spoilers, you might want to skip ahead a little bit in this audio broadcast. Because they're building up, and they'll show this over the next 4 weeks, and probably the next taping after that, which is on the 30th. Two matches have already been signed for it. One is a rematch between Antonio Cesaro and Sami Zayn. That alone is pretty good. And next is they're going to have a ladder match for the NXT Championship between Adrian Neville and Bo Dallas. Adrian Neville, for those who don't know, is also known as Pac, and he has the most insane high-flying move I have ever seen.
And they mentioned that the network launch was going to be, I believe, the Monday after Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
I'm off that day, so I think I'll fall out of bed about 9 a.m. and go see if they'd be interested in my time and my money.
Here's the slight problem with that, and it's just very slight.
What's that?
The WWE Network's full launch will be at 11:05 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time that night. A Raw recap. And then the keys come open. Everything opens up.
I gotta be careful. I might not sleep that night.
Here's the thing. Also, as I've actually read up on this a little, the contracts and all that will be going through WWE.com. They will start at 9 a.m. Eastern that Monday. Yeah, expect the servers to crash hard.
I think I'll wait till about 2 o'clock.
Wait till during Raw. That's probably the best time.
Well, and...
I would say more like 7:30-ish.
Yeah, probably just before Raw. Because we're not going to get a pre-show. We'll get a post-show.
Yes.
Then the doors open, and everybody's going to be peeking inside, looking around at the library before them. And then Mr. Sandow slams the door in your face.
You're welcome!
Has he still woken up? Has he woken up from the Cobra Clutch, though, to do that?
No, probably not. We will get to that in just a moment. Now, with WWE doing all of this, Jim, you'll probably know something about this. Vince can go to Bonnie Hammer and say, look at all this that I can do without you.
Yeah. I mean, negotiating rights are going to be interesting, to say the least.
They can, you know, WWE will not require sponsors. They'd be nice. WWE does not require channels. Because most people, I'm making a broad assumption here, most WWE fans have access to internet and at least some form of high-speed internet. Whether it be on their phone, on their desktop, on their laptop, on their i-whatever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the framework is in place where 10 years from now, they won't even be on TV.
No. They barely need TV now.
Mm-hmm.
The way this is set up, you know, there'll be even less of a reason for me to have a television in my house. But I still need it for Mythbusters. Anyway.
I understand that.
Yeah. Another financial perspective. I'm going to read this from my Facebook. This is from wrestler Gregory Iron.
Yes.
Our handicapped hero. He says he puts the numbers out there. He says about 150,000 diehard fans regularly purchase the B pay-per-views for $50 a piece, about say 8 times a year. That's $60 million over the course of a year. And some of that, not all of that goes to WWE. A lot of that has to go to the providers. Their normal TV schedule, they run between 3 and 4 million viewers for Raw. Now, if you can convince the diehards, and the diehards will eventually start talking to the casuals, that for $120, roughly the cost of 2.5 pay-per-views, now you get all 12 pay-per-views, access to the vault, new content. Jim, 4 million, if they could actually get an entire Raw audience to invest, 4 million viewers, $120 a year is $480
million. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Mm-hmm.
And all of it in Da Vince and the Evil Doc's pockets.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the only worker who has said, oh my God, yes.
Of course. Because this would be money that you don't have to worry about, you know, rights fees in terms of television transmission and what have you. You wouldn't have to worry about other elements. One of the more telling stats, in kind of segueing back to the negotiations.
Right.
USA is the number one cable network in the United States. This is a fact. A lot of their ratings come from WWE. If you take WWE programming off and replace it with, you know, insert Law and Order here, or Modern Family or whatever, yeah, you'd still get a rating, but nowhere near as high. USA would drop from number one all the way down to number four. Doesn't sound like much, but in a heated cable market where cable's the new broadcast, if you will,
right,
that's kind of sizable. So it's becoming a point where USA / NBC Universal needs WWE more than WWE needs them.
So Vince and Hunter are going to make Bonnie Hammer pay through the freaking nose to stay on television.
You could pay, I mean, they're going to utilize the big contracts for sports like NASCAR, the NFL, Major League Baseball as also leverage points. You see what these folks get, and we consistently get, you know, the rating that we get year in and year out, and we help make you number one. Back up the truck, back up the Brinks truck.
Yeah. And they've got the leverage, and Hunter will smile all the way through it.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Not in this case.
No. The man, you know, either way, WWE is going to laugh all the way to the bank. And television's going to go, oh, shit. Come to think of it, I think some channels are already doing that.
Yeah.
Talking about something from a non-financial standpoint I've thought about with this.
Okay.
Could this be the way that we, a lot of things I've seen complaints about for WWE are the lack of building up the characters of the people. You see people coming out, they have their matches, and they're great, but you don't really know like who they are, motivations and stuff like that. Could, now that they're doing this in this network, could they have little segments here and there where you learn more about them? And
oh, whoa. That actually brought me to something I remember seeing back on WWE Fan Nation, or YouTube channel.
Okay.
With the whole bat, or them doing various fun things, like the Usos showing you how to cook and such.
Yeah.
That could be kind of expanded upon.
Well,
and expounded, like a WWE Confidential almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've also got a handful of original content shows that they talked about at the press conference. Mm-hmm. Not just rehashing Legends House, excuse me. Okay, I thought I was going to sneeze. Stuff like WrestleMania Rewind, where not only are they going to show you, you know, iconic WrestleMania matches, but if anybody's still around that they can talk to, they're going to talk to them about it. They're going to do a show called Countdown, which is kind of an expanded version of SportsCenter's Top 10. And to build the shows, they're going to be open to the fans to vote on, which means a lot of them are going to be freaking train wrecks.
And I'm going to be part of the train wreck.
Get your voter bot ready, stat boy. I want to see this.
Yes, voter bot 9000 will work overtime.
I see we finally found the guy that helped kill Jason Todd in the comics.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah. They're, you know, they're going to have original content. They're going to have the entire their entire library that, you know, I could lose a week. Any true wrestling fan could lose a month in.
And to be frank with you, they're only going to be showing at first 1.5% of their catalog, and it's going to expand from there. That 1.5% will still get you about 5 or 6 weeks nonstop.
That's what I'm talking about. They mentioned they have over 100,000 hours of content. I'm not going to do the math. That's just, you know, I don't have time for all of that. But I'll make time for a lot of it.
11 years plus. Oh, shiggity diggity.
And I think we're all going to be really, really busy playing with it. So, So if you, you know, if you have a decent laptop, a decent desktop, a decent tablet, a good smartphone, Roku, again, do you know, I don't know what the hell that is. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned.
I know what a Roku box is. Blame Mike Quackenbush. It's essentially the small, it's a little box that does everything a smart TV does.
Oh. Okay.
Pretty much. And it's also, $40 now.
Okay. If you want a PlayStation 3 or a PlayStation 4, you can go through that. Xbox 360, you can get the network at launch. Xbox One, losers, you gotta wait till summer. Same for the smart TV crowd. How's your money look now? Anyway, sorry, I had to say it. But yeah, this is insane. This is absolutely insane. And yes, I will say it because I know most of you guys are at least thinking it. Shut up and take my money.
Yes.
Now there's only one more question I have about
this. All right.
When the network launches, will they change the main company logo to the network logo?
Yes. Most likely. Because that was featured prominently in the presentation. And I think they're going to go ahead and just work their way over to that to show that they have stepped through a threshold into what they've been calling over-the-top network programming. And you know, I think I'm ready for this roller coaster.
Amazing how something can turn from one of the biggest jokes to one of the biggest success stories, isn't it?
That's what's blowing me away. We have been laughing about this since late 2011 when they first announced it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, they had the patience to make sure it was right.
Exactly. They absolutely did. And kudos to them. What else can I say? Tip of the hat. Let's see where this goes. Let's see if people buy into it. I'm not buying into that, though.
Oh, for crying out loud. Where do you come from?
Oh, my God. May I have your attention, please?
You know what?
I have just received an email from the anonymous NAWC general manager on my Arcos 5.0 Helium 4G.
Your what?
I think you might need to see a doctor about that.
Does it itch?
Not exactly.
Okay, now, the helium G is how he does pretty life.
That's scary.
Oh, that's very nice. Let me see what the GM has to say. Mae Young is fighting death, and we still think she's winning. That's not very nice. It's true, but not very nice. She, the oldest of old school was not in the best of shape to show up for Old School Raw, but we had so many names and faces and a couple of really good moments along with storyline advancement. Who knew? What else do we have in here? Oh, yes. Talk a little bit about monsters. Talk a little bit about animals. Talk a little bit about Michigan State.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Them.
Go Ohio State.
This isn't Russell Crapp Sports Digest.
Oh, but there's a very,
close
very
enough.
Fair tie-in, I must say.
Tell you what. Roll some commercials, and we will discuss this at length.
Yes, we will.
And when we come back, we'll see if that's going to be part of the second half of the show.
It will be.
Pony.
Grr, back in a minute.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Unlike my cohorts here, I brought gifts.
Oh, God, here we go.
Yes, I have every running gag in BS Big Show history rolled into one big mess for us. Tim Tebow and Andy Reid holding TC and Benoodles while writing Pinkie Pie, who suffered from those three letters everybody hates, A-C-L. And what's that protruding from Pinkie Pie's dumper? Of course, it's the 200th episode commemorative Turkey Baster.
Oh, shit. Wow!
Wow!
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't write this sh**.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because you forgot half a douche. That's what you forgot. You forgot.
The BS Big Show, only on CLWA3.
In the year 2000, while struggling with bipolar disorder, I attempted suicide. By the grace of God, I survived. Today, I am living a full life, reaching out to anyone who may be feeling trapped or hopeless. If you or someone you know is contemplating suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
Having breast cancer has changed the way that I approach my research. Through funding by the Susan G. Komen Career Catalyst Grant for my research, we've been able to establish a preliminary blood test for breast cancer. I am Christy Eglund, and I am Susan G. Komen.
Help save lives. Visit IamSusanGKomen.org.
We're back on the North American Wrestling Connection, is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Jim Williams, Stat Boy Josh Henniger, and Chris Waters. Now, Jim, I saw this Michigan State video that you were referencing.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did that sound familiar.
Yes, well, you see, Michigan State, they just came back from the Rose Bowl not too long ago, where they won the granddaddy of them all. And at the Michigan State basketball game this past Tuesday, I believe it was, there was a big celebration at halftime, and one of the players, who I believe is an offensive lineman, decided to lead the crowd, about 10, 12,000 strong, into a yes.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Something like that.
Aw, oh, shiggity.
And it carried over into the game when the other team, I don't remember who they were facing that night, when they took foul shots, you could still see some of the fans going, yes, well, yes, yes, to try to distract the shooter.
This being the catchphrase of the bizarrely B-plus player Daniel Bryan, who's currently doing Bray Wyatt almost as good as Bray Wyatt.
Daniel the Dumpster Drossy, yes.
And that goat face was all over the video packages for the network.
Mm-hmm.
I defy any number three to step forward and tell me they're holding Bryan down.
We got clean shaven Daniel Bryan. We got completely goat-faced Daniel Bryan in the packages. We got a little bit of everything there.
There was more of presence of Daniel Bryan in these video packages than there was of John freaking Cena.
Blasphemy! How dare you!
I'm not complaining. I'm just surprised.
Yes, yes.
Then again, no, very yes. And just the fact that when John Cena did come out and talk, he was wooden. Serious. Businesslike. Where was the passion, John? Sorry.
He left it at home with Nikki Bella.
Excuse me, there's a button for that.
Bella Street Urchin number 2, correct, Josh?
I don't know.
Well, you're the one who keeps track of the Bella Street Urchins, so.
Oh, let's see now. Bella Street Urchin number 1, I'm trying to think here. The number 1's with the silly tattoos, so I believe that's Bree.
Oh, okay, so it's Bella Street. Okay, thank you.
It's Bella Street Urchin number 1.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Now that we've gotten a little clearer-headed on this one, I'm going to talk about the fog clearing from another man's head. We had heard that Dolph Ziggler had suffered another concussion at the Ham Fists of Ryback. It happened on Superstars. Chris, you said you'd seen the match. You weren't sure if it was the clothesline at the beginning of the match or the meat hook at the end. I'm really leaning towards the meat hook.
Yeah, it probably could have been because of the way, the angle of it. I was just thinking it might have been the earlier clothesline because after the first clothesline, Ryback was stood in the ring and the referee actually went out and he seemed like he was checking on Dolph and Dolph seemed a little loopy out of it before he finally got back in the ring. But then after that, they went on for a little bit longer, and Ryback held him up for a 2-minute long vertical suplex, which everybody was commenting on and during the match too.
So he's been recently reevaluated, and according to Dr. Chris Amon, which is he's one of WWE's physicians, has put him through the tests, and they appear to be baseline and within normal limits. Symptoms have improved significantly since the injury, so the plan is to have him rest a little longer, and when he is asymptomatic, as in not potentially not having recurring symptoms, and God help me, I hope he doesn't end up at have him do some light cardio exercise, and if that goes okay, we will proceed with other protocols. So, please, 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 Ziggler, just get better. We will not forget about you.
this is the smart move by WWE to do it this way, not only just because of the concussion testing, but they're taking him off the road and making sure he's perfectly able to do this, because if they didn't do that, we might have had another Bret Hart situation with Ziggler's career, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, and that's why I brought it up, because I saw one of the first events I attended was a WCW house show where I got to see them fine-tuning the match that took Bret out of the business.
Oh.
I went to a house show before that pay-per-view and got to see Goldberg and Bret. So I got to see how it was supposed to work. I still haven't gotten myself up to see what really happened. So,
do you think there are going to be repercussions on Ryback for? Because I mean, from all accounts, he's been kind of, I mean, the massive descent for this individual, in terms of status on the card.
He's
been free falling.
He's been free falling between attitude, sloppy work in the ring, lack of development. Granted, you don't need a whole lot of development to play a monster like him.
Right.
I still think the heel turn was a bad, horrible idea. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he had the second loudest chance in the building. Next to a certain goat-faced guy.
Mm-hmm.
What do I know? I just appear to watch too much of the product. And
you're just a broadcast journalist.
Yes, I am a broadcast journalist. And to maintain my integrity, I did not distribute digits to a certain diva who has decided.
Okay. Look.
What?
I only asked you this so I could perhaps get an exclusive one-on-one interview with her. Since I'm a big fan of her work, her ethic, and her assets to the company, and you did a disservice to this show by not hooking. Never mind.
Let's just say I was maintaining both of our integrities.
Some of us do have standards.
Oh, I have standards, all right.
I know, and that's why you wanted this interview so bad.
Hey, it's like the Michael Cole interview, only much better. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. Caitlin had asked for and was granted her release from WWE, and I can understand to a point because, okay, Chris, you're the divas connoisseur. They weren't using her.
No, they really weren't there, but then again, with the divas, it's always a rotating room kind of thing. So you never know who they're going to use next and who they're not. But from what I've seen, it was her choice, and it seems very amicable because on the WWE webpage, they actually had a photo gallery of a nice farewell to Caitlin since she left.
And she had a really good farewell match on Main Event against AJ. In fact, you could even see, if you know what you're watching, you can see where they were. They said goodbye just before the pinfall and shortly after the pinfall.
Exactly.
And, good luck to whatever you're going to be doing next, Caitlin. And this guy over here would like to speak to you as soon as possible. Just hit him up on Twitter or something.
I just have to say one thing, though. I didn't know what her real name was before her release.
Yeah,
I have to say, her real name, Celeste Bonin, or Bonin, or however you pronounce the last name, at the very least, her first name would have been perfect for a ring name. I don't know, see why they needed, besides trademarking, to change it.
Right. Well, we know why they didn't go with the last name, because if you combine the two, it borderline sounds like a porn name.
Well, it's true.
Dolph Ziggler? Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's so damn sick of being so damn sick. It's all good.
Plus, with Celeste Bonin, with Celeste being her ring name, she could get a pony gimmick.
Oh, come on! No, don't do this to me, Waters!
Do it.
Keep going, Chris!
Princess Celeste, Queen of the Ring.
That means you'd have to dye your mane four colors.
Yeah. And wear a horn on the way to the ring.
And an angel wing cape.
Which you could borrow from Justin Gabriel.
Will you stop?
What is Roman Reigns going to do now that he has an infinite supply of hair color?
You mean Seth Rollins?
Oh, Seth Rollins. Yeah, I get them all confused.
Yeah, don't do a Brian Henniger on us. Come on.
Well, no, I know who Ambrose is. The other two eggs confused. ponies. Anyway, we wish you the very best in your future endeavors.
That's sweet of you, Jim.
Yes, and I still want you to get everybody number.
Anyway.
You said you would.
We'll talk. Anyway. But let's talk about people that are still on the screen or coming to the screen soon. As you know, my dear Uncle Paul is an advocate for a certain monster who is unfortunately going to have to carry the Big Show.
That's a lot of load.
The good news is Brock Lesnar is strong enough to do this with very little effort after what he did to Mark Henry. Kayfabe breaking his arm, legit picking him up without any help.
Cheap barricade.
Anyway. So, they've set a match with Lesnar and the Big Show at the Rumble. Which, I'm sorry, I love Brock. I love my dear Uncle Paul. But this is a stopgap match.
There's one music cue I think will be perfect for describing this. Let's do the time warp again.
Oh, shoot. I don't have it on here anymore.
Little pitchy dog.
Yeah. But,
no,
yeah.
I'm just, I've seen this before. And I didn't like it the other time.
We saw it before at a Royal Rumble, even, for crying out loud.
I'm saying, I remember the two of them having a match 12 years ago where Big Show was coming off being jobbed up and down the Raw card, drafted to SmackDown. What's the first thing he does? He beats Lesnar. What?
Thanks to your dear Uncle Paul.
Oh, my dear Uncle Paul has had saner moments than that, anyway. Which isn't saying much. Meanwhile, other monsters, including Dave.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Dave Smash Rumble.
Game Genie code here.
Well, I just want another round of Dave Toss Cena, Cena Toss Dave. Still one of the most fun endings of a Royal Rumble. I don't care if it was not the planned ending. And no simpy for Vince McMahon tearing both of his quads going down to the ring to protest.
Thank you, Scott Steiner, for the simpy line. Very nice.
So, Batista has passed along that he's going to be in the Rumble. Alberto Del Rio doesn't have anything to do, so he's going to be in the Rumble.
But you already know that.
And Dave's like, who's this guy?
And we all feel jealous because we've been trying to forget Alberto Del Rio for years now.
No. I'm not. I personally am not bored with him. I just think they just took too long with his destiny, the destiny part of his gimmick.
There was a lot of misdirection with the gimmick, yeah.
So,
like taking away the cars, for one.
I miss the cars.
I miss Ricardo's car.
I just miss Ricardo and his Zubas. Anyway,
yeah, he's wearing his Zubas on the Spanish announce team now or something. So.
And he's been on house shows when Heath was out of action, part of 3MB.
What?
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, let me see if I can find a picture of that.
Oh,
Lord.
Fan camera, it didn't happen.
Yeah, right?
I've only heard it through second hands on the board, Nikki, but apparently he was like a roadie for 3MB when it was just Drew and Jinder.
Okay, that I can understand, but I just didn't... The first thing I thought of was Ricardo as their front man. And a really bad rendition of La Bamba.
He plays maracas? What?
He plays air maracas.
So just like Jinder plays air sitar, air maracas.
The rock band guitar and the air bagpipes. Oh, wait. No. That's not nice of Drew.
We're 4MB!
You guys are...
Those guys can go up to 999 MB because they'll never hit a gig or they'll never get one.
Oh! Well played, sir. Yeah.
Shots fired!
Boom! Headshot. Anyway,
Oh no, there's a man down.
So...
Okay.
Let's get back over here. I know we touched on the main event of Old School Raw just because... Holy shit, Jake the Snake. But we got more than the usual suspects on an Old School Raw. They did a Did You Know on SmackDown that they had 20 legends on the show.
And if it said on a Did You Know, it must be true.
Personally, I think it's not fair to count Booker T because he's still a semi-regular on camera.
True.
But time heals all wounds and Ric Flair was allowed a few minutes in the ring.
True story.
And they mentioned when Cole said something about Flair having two Hall of Fame rings, the first thing that came out of my mouth is that he hasn't pawned them yet.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
Alimony.
He might need to pawn them after what's been recently happening.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, fill me in.
Let's just say this. He has a warrant out for his arrest.
Now what?
If I'm trying to remember the exact specifics, but I believe it has something to stem with something that happened back in June of last year.
I mean, is this more shit about the belt? Is this back alimony? Is this tax evasion? Is this drunk and disorderly conduct when he got JR fired?
Let's see if I can find
one moment here. I think I've got it up here from CBSSports.com. There is an outstanding warrant for his arrest. Let's see here. It's in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. It dates back to July 3rd, when the district court judge, Christy T. Mann, signed an order for the arrest of one Richard Fleer on contempt of court violations. This dates back to late June, where he was ordered to pay $32,352.51 in unpaid post-separation support. There it is.
Alimony.
And legal fees by 5 p.m. on June 27th of this past year, and maintain support of his estranged spouse's car lease and insurance and health insurance, according to documents. And this is added on to the fact that, on a lesser note, he completely cold-shouldered Carolina Panthers fans this week. So
yeah, he's in trouble with a lot of people right now.
Woo! He was looking for a payday.
You said it was a female judge?
Christy T. Mann.
There's your contempt of court issue.
You're in charge of me! Woo! Honey, I take it as Space Mountain and we forget all about it. Woo!
Sadly, I can see this happening.
And then he starts stripping in the middle of the courtroom. And elbow drops his jacket.
No, the contempt of court came when he elbow dropped the gavel.
I can see that, too.
So that's why Bad News Barrett was upset with him.
You're wasting Barrett. I want him back in the ring. Is his elbow messed up again or something?
Bad news.
He hasn't found a way to get down from the rising podium.
I want a rising podium like that.
Either one of you, just call Kurt Angle and ask him about his... but yeah, among the people that showed up for Old School, we had a brief cameo from The Godfather. We had one damn segment with Simmons. Mean Gene Okerlund uncomfortably doing a promo for the 900 line.
That's 1-900-909-9900.
It's $1.49 a minute. Kids, get your parents' permission before calling. But whatever you do, call the hotline right now.
And he did a second promo for the JBL and Cole show with a completely different number. The number for the WWE shop.
Doofus.
Nicely done. Too Cool and Rikishi. We haven't seen Scotty Too Hotty on WWE TV in a while, and my God.
That's because he's a fireman now.
True.
Thank you, TMZ.
And Grandmaster Sexy's looking more and more like his daddy every day.
Which, and very nice that you segue to that, because if not for Mr. Christopher being there and present, things could have been a little bit worse for Jerry the King Lawler that Monday night. Could have been.
Could have been. If I understood the story correctly, apparently it was just, it was either stomach flu or just some bad fast food.
Like bad seafood or something, and he had a bad stomach bug. And he was going to go on the air and go through with it, but he wasn't feeling well. I believe he was vomiting at one point, if reports that I have are correct.
Mm-hmm.
So they got checked out by the doctors after the insistence of his son, Brian Christopher. And, he pretty much was off the show, but not completely because, I think we already have a token moment here for worst moment of the year. How do we let people know that Jerry's doing okay? You gotta get on the app!
Mr. Cole, no.
I don't blame Cole, I blame the producers.
Oh, no, I just, you know, we all looked at the TV when we saw that and...
Boo!
It just, you know, we don't do that.
Yeah, he appeared on the app. He explained his health scare. He was with his girlfriend, who's probably underage. And what?
Just pretend she said 18.
Okay, it was her 18th birthday about... Mm-hmm. They went to a seafood restaurant in downtown Baltimore. The food, quote-unquote, didn't sit well. He ended up throwing up in a mall during a post-lunch walk. People, of course, knowing his heart problems, figured vomiting can happen prior to a heart attack. They ran tests. Everything turned out okay. It was just a stomach virus.
Thankfully.
Thankfully, yeah. So, he is fine. He will be back next Monday. You have been warned.
More bad puns to come. Hooray!
More bad puns and corny jokes, which, oh, by the way, I will listen to 3 hours of Jerry Lawler's corny jokes before I take another 3 seconds of heel Cole. Or another 3 minutes of JBL skipping CD.
JBL's fun, though.
Oh, he is. When JBL's on, he's awesome.
Which is usually during Divas matches.
Okay, that's just wrong.
That's
just wrong.
He is on the money. He makes them worth watching because he doesn't give a damn about what's going on in the ring. He just wants to chide Cole and Lawler.
No, he didn't even bother waiting for Cole to say something on one of the SmackDown matches. I think it was during the Wyatt's match. Mm-hmm. The match was underway. There was no sign of Wyatt or Bryan. And JBL just bursts out, "Go ahead, Cole, tell us what your conspiracy theory is about this." I'm like, geez, JBL, at least let Cole make a fool of himself before you yell at him.
There's a natural step of progression here, yes.
Yeah, let Cole trip over his own feet, and then you can point and laugh at him.
And you can fricassee him, yeah.
And, oh, by the way, when they did a video package about the network when they came back, JBL started picking on Cole again, because he said there was plenty of footage about how many people didn't like Cole even in the Attitude Era.
Yeah. Thank JR for that, pretty much. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you do want to go through some of the archive footage, go look for the DX Wedgie.
Oof. JR kicking him in the balls.
I wonder if they'll put the Heidenreich situation with
it. Oh, my. I think we need the disclaimer for that.
Yeah. That would require a disclaimer. Anyway,
that would require TVMA.
Introducing Heidenreich and his little friend Johnny.
I'm here. Oh, wait, wrong.
No!
People power!
The new reality show from the WWE Network.
Are you sure it's going to be people power and not something else?
Poetry power!
You're breaking my brain.
Nicky?
What?
Brain bleach.
Yeah, I think that's... sorry, guys. You deserve this. Brain bleach!
Now incented and unscented. Okay.
Okay. We had a cute cameos from IRS and Ted Sr. When Big E Langston was walking around backstage, and he was allowed to smile. He's a face.
Mm-hmm. And you said his name right. Good job.
What? Just because, you know, Pony Langston was...
No. You said it right
Brony Langston.
Biggie, no.
Oh, you're Brony Langston.
Biggie,
I'm sorry.
Biggie.
Brony.
Biggie Brony Langston. There we go.
You will not join the herd. Anyway.
The E stands for Equestria. There
you
go. See, that's why he and Celeste... Yeah, Nick and Kate were still around with
you. Careful, you can remember he's in charge of recording.
I can stop this and exit you out, and it becomes my show at any time. Be careful,
okay,
kids.
I'll be calm.
You'll
be calm.
Talking to yourself.
I gotta do a guardrail thing tonight.
Better than pony talk, that's for sure.
Yeah, I gotta do a guardrail thing. So
that's true. Let's take a step or two towards the guardrail. And calm things down a little bit. Because, Chris, I want you to tell me a little bit about what some of the experience that you had at the NXT tapings.
Okay, I'll preface this by saying anybody who can come down to Florida to go to one of these, go to it just for the crowd. Because the crowd gets into it more than any WWE event I have been in yet. That's one thing. Second thing, if you're going to drive there, make sure you don't go through rush hour traffic like I had to do.
Dude, toll money. I told you not to get on I-4.
No, I didn't get on. I didn't do any tolls because they told me that they didn't have to do tolls, but I left a little later because there was some discrepancy with something with the rental car that I was getting.
Well, I'm just saying that if you want to get anywhere in Orlando fast... Just pay the tolls. Seriously.
Okay, I'll remember that for next time. But, yeah, next thing I'm going to say, if you want to get food, make sure you have cash because they don't do credit cards because they only had, like, minor things in the thing because it's a college campus. It's not a full arena, which also brings me to the next thing. The size of the arena for NXT is kind of small and kind of intimate. And give me one moment here.
All right.
If I'm not mistaken, the population's about, what, 3,000?
Yeah,
maximum allowed?
Yeah, it's possible that, but because the setup for it was what they do is they set up about like two or three rows of chairs in the front, and the rest of the seats are bleacher seats, like you would see in a college, high school or something. So
well, it's kind of almost an expanded setup of how OVW looked.
I would have to look back at that. So
okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, so I was on one of the benches because I bought my ticket late and I couldn't get the $15 one. But saying that, there is not a bad seat in the house for an NXT show because there's no, unlike a major WWE show, there's no limited view seats where you're stuck behind the Titantron halfway, which I've had two experiences of that.
Yeah.
One of them being the last appearance of Classy Freddie Blassie on TV.
I'm sorry, man.
Well, I got to hear him say, "Devon, get the table," so that was great.
There you go.
So, but back to NXT. Yeah, it's a great little setup. What they do is, if you have a general admission ticket, they just point you in a general direction and say, let's see, that part's open. You can sit right there. So, and
That's how general admission works, but
yep.
Go on.
Yeah. Oh, it's my first time doing it, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
And the setup for it, camera side has no seats except for the couple front rows. So it's just the production stage right there. You're looking across from it. If you're looking at the camera,
okay.
It's right there by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like a small section of bleachers there, the emergency exit, a back row of bleachers, and that's about it. So it's a very intimate crowd, and they've had some regulars there. I had one guy next to me saying that there was one girl in a Miz shirt that comes in every taping with the Miz shirt, and she really gets into it.
Hmm.
And is there also not a father-son duo who's heavily into the Enzo Moore, Colin Cassidy deal?
If there were, I didn't see them.
So. Yeah, they're usually rampside.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't near rampside. I was in the,
You were on the complete other side.
Yeah, I was on the camera side, but in the back, towards the left of where the camera would be, where the screen would be if you're looking on the camera. So you might see me and my bald head on the show wearing a CM Punk Best in the World shirt.
The white or the gray one?
The original.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a good thing. And they can get into, they can make chance of almost anything at that show, I'll have to say. Like when Triple H came out and started talking about the WWE Network on there, mm-hmm. the whole place filled up with a 999 chant.
Wow.
That's right up there with it. That was creepy chant to Wyatt at the last pay-per-view. Go on.
Yeah. Let's see, another chant. Bo Dallas came out, and there was a chant of Pocahontas at him.
Oh, that's not nice. That's funny, because he does. Yes. He's got a woman's face.
Exactly. He and his sister almost look alike, but...
I've seen the face swap picture, and it really wasn't much difference. Go on.
Exactly. And one more chant. During the Ascension, apparently this started this week on the show they just aired on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Whenever Connor, since they got rid of the O'Brien on his name and changed the first letter of his name to a K, mm-hmm. Whenever he does a move, he goes, yeah, and people are starting to chant that with him. Well, during the match, they had a new chant that was happening during it. I don't remember what caused it, but a chant of "This is Yah-some" started up. And
oh, my goodness!
So yes,
wow,
they are energetic and creative of a crowd, and also one more chant that I found funny during a Six Divas tag match. It was Natalia, Bailey, and Emma against Summer Rae, Sasha Banks, and Alicia Fox. During the match, Natalia somehow accidentally ripped out some of Summer Rae's hair, and they started chanting, "Summer's got a weave," or something along those lines.
Oh, for crying out loud.
But yeah, so it's a fun, energetic
thing. This sounds like another arena I've heard about and actually sat in a couple of times and actually supposedly worked once.
Gee, I wonder which one it is.
Yeah.
It's one somewhere near Jim's neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very similar in that regard to it. And I will have to say to the crew, they did a good job with the cameras and everything. There were just two technical difficulties that they had during it.
Somebody stepped on a cable and...
No. Well, they might have just hit a wrong button because one was after Natalya won a match. I'm not going to say which one. Mm-hmm. They played something. I don't know whose theme it was, but it was not Natalya's at all.
Could have been Charlotte's.
It depends because I've heard about people stumbling on the music buttons where we heard Charlie Haas's music behind Muhammad Hassan or the other way around.
Yeah.
This was actually on TV.
And the second technical difficulty they had when Tyson Kidd was coming out for his match, for mm-hmm. about the first 10 or 15 seconds of him coming out, maybe less, Corey Graves' Tron played in the background.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Okay, that's gonna get somebody hurt.
So now we have Christian is Michael McGillicuddy and Tyson Kidd is Corey Graves now. So
I would not wish anyone being Corey Graves on my worst enemy.
And Tyson would look horrible with tattoos.
Yeah.
at least he's got his hair normal again and not the Charlie Brown.
I missed the crown that he used to have. That was fun.
That was a Charlie Brown haircut.
And from a guy that's bald, don't pick on the Charlie Brown look.
But, I realize it's a classic style, but come on.
Yeah, but I lost track of where. One thing I was impressed with is, despite not having video packages, those get added in later on. So it's just you just get the matches pretty much, except for every now and then you'll get something backstage. Like Triple H made a match announcement of a match that happened on the show, and a heel ended up going backstage to attack a friend of a face. I'm not going to say who because I don't want to give too many spoilers away.
It's all right.
I've already given that away with the two matches that we're going to have on the 27th of February. Mm-hmm. And, sorry, had a frog in my throat for a second there. But, yeah, their team, besides those two mistakes, they did pretty well. And it looks like it's all the intern stuff. So they get the change practice there. And another thing they get to do is get better fan interaction with the between the wrestlers and the crowd. Because I'm going to spoil one more thing, because you have to watch this. My description alone will not do it justice.
All right.
There's a Colin Cassidy-Tyler Breeze match on a future episode of NXT.
I'm already interested. Mm-hmm. Go on.
Okay. Tyler is doing his little thing where he's taking selfies of him, and he's not starting the match, and he's holding his phone to him. Colin goes out of the ring, asks some people in the front row who has a cell phone with a camera. He gets the cell phone from the fan. He starts taking selfies of himself and mocking Tyler Breeze's mannerisms.
That's house show stuff. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm hoping that makes it to air, because it was like...
It probably will.
That will probably air. Yeah. It sounds like you got there shortly before everything got started, so you didn't go up there early to try to catch people, or did you stick around afterwards to see if you could catch anybody?
I couldn't stick around afterwards, because like it's a 4-hour drive between where I live and Full Sail, pretty much.
So and yeah,
I had to work the next day. So
that's right. You told me that. Me that.
I don't know if I'm gonna try. I don't know if I'm gonna make it to the January 30th tapings, even though I want to see the Rhodes Brothers in action, because they're going to be at the show.
Ooh, that's worth it. That's worth the drive alone.
Yeah, but I'm going to definitely do my damnedest to make the February 27th show.
I'd say go get your tickets as soon as you have the money.
Yes.
That's going to be a very, very hot ticket.
Exactly. And also, I have to say, another thing I'm proud to say, they do story protections for each of the four things, because there is a face, and I'm going to type the name of who it is, that turns heel throughout the program, because he had three matches at the show.
Okay.
There.
Okay, yeah. I
heard about hallelujah.
That. So.
And he does it in a very, very certain cartoon way that I will type in there, too.
Okay, that's worth watching, and I'm not going to spoil it for you listeners. Just go watch NXT.
Exactly.
You can get it for free on Hulu right now, and then at the end of February, Hulu won't have anything to do with it. You'll just have to go get the network. You can get it free for a week. Then they got your money anyway.
And if you are in the Florida area, I don't care how far down in Florida, at least go to one taping of it.
I'm going to find my way to one of these tapings, because I couldn't go when I was down there back in December. A, they probably didn't have any shows that close to Christmas.
Yeah, they didn't.
And B, at the insistence of a friend of mine who is a former wrestling fan, who I might just have to talk her into getting the network so she can go look at some classic Big Sexy and Sting and Jeff Jarrett. She was a big fan of late WCW. Don't ask. Okay. Do we have anything else we need to go over tonight?
I don't know.
Oh, there's a reason we had Stat Boy, isn't there?
I don't know if he's had time to do his homework. Stat Boy, if you haven't put this together yet, I will forgive you for now, but I would like to have this for the Rumble Pick'em show, if you are available.
What is it?
We need the overall Fizzleweight Champion of 2013.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I have been a wee bit distracted, and then I'd also have to get some stuff from Verm, because he does have a handful of what I've got, I think.
Okay. And he said he will be back in... He will be back in his... he'll be back on his home planet in the next couple of days, so...
All right.
Well, if we're going to talk... Well, since he can do his stats, can we do something that I wanted to talk about last show, but I wasn't on for it?
Hmm.
What's that? Which was
the win-loss of 2013.
Oh, that's true. That's true. For our listeners, Mr. Waters does a win-loss records posting for a wrestling message board. the freaking awesome network.
Hi, I'm a moderator.
Hi, change my whatchamadealy from pony to something else, but be nice.
Okay, you asked for it.
Be nice! Remember, I know other mods.
Yeah, so do I. Anyway. Texas Toast, Trista.
Her, and I believe Typho.
Yeah, Texas Toast.
Yeah. Don't make me sick. Don't make me sick, Trista, on you.
I'd be okay with that.
No, bad. Sit down, Chris. Oofa. What were you going to talk about?
Anyway,
that's horrible.
So
it's funny, but it's shame on you.
For the wrestling people. Since I've been keeping track of every show, pretty much, NXT, Superstars, Main Event, even Total Divas, because they had one match that they showed, one couple matches that they showed over there. Saturday Morning Slam when they were there.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they bring that back with the network, by the way, because that was one of the more fun shows, in my opinion.
As long as they stop shooting it Y7 style, I'll be happy.
Yeah. But anyway, with the most... Hold on, let me pull this up proper here.
Okay.
So I got to compare and contrast here. All right. Somebody else helped me with some of this percentage thing I'm going to be talking about here.
Okay.
The most wins of 2013 are televised in internet matches are Daniel Bryan with 68, and this is counting some gauntlet matches as individual matches going by what WWE.com says on their reports. By the way, 2014, let's have less gauntlet matches. They are a pain in the ass to work with. His record was overall this year 68 wins, 32 losses, and 3 draws. Randy Orton is the next one with the most matches won, which was 63. His overall record was 63, 28, and 8. Then we had Antonio Cesaro, who is a workhorse, and he was one of the more and he was one of the most over people in NXT when he was visiting there. And the I'm sorry, I read that wrong. I've skipped ahead by that, actually. But actually next one with the most wins is Alberto Del Rio with 55 wins. His overall record was 55, 22, and 2.
Which is surprising, given his spot on the card right now, but go on.
And then tied is Jimmy, for most wins, are Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, and Antonio Cesaro. Jimmy is 45, 29, and 1. Jey is 45, 31, and 1. And Cesaro, who has been in pretty much every show at least once this year, this past, was 45, 61, and 1.
Ow.
Of course.
Yeah. Meaning he's also is in the most losses. Most losses this year, Damian Sandow is at the top with 63 losses.
Mm-mm-mm.
But his record was 34, 63, and 2. Next was Cesaro, who I already mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got most losses, 2 of the spots, 3MB. Heath Slater had 59 losses. Let me scroll down. He's way down there. 5 wins, 59 losses, and 1 draw. Next is Drew McIntyre, 4 wins, 54 losses, no draws. Surprising. And lastly, Dolph Ziggler had 51 losses, and his records back up. 34 wins, 51 losses, and 1 draw.
Okay.
So, percentage-wise, since somebody did this for me, let me go scroll back here.
Oh,
percentage. All right. Win percentages he did for 10 wrestlers that worked 10 or more matches this year. It was John Cena with 81.82%. CM Punk with 79.07%. Sheamus with 75.93%. Mark Henry with 73.17%.
Yeah, but he only had 11 matches. Oh, wait.
Well, that's true. No, hold on. Let's see how many he had.
I'm picking on Mark Henry more than I'm picking on your numbers.
He had 11 losses, yes, but...
Oh, okay, so he had more than 11 matches. Okay.
It was a 30-11-0.
Okay.
And lastly, Del Rio was 71.43% for working 10 or more matches. And now, in reverse order of the least, from the most to least of the loss percentages, Heath Slater with 7.81%.
Mm-hmm.
One. Oksana with 7.5% because she was, what was her record here?
It's hard horrible. To
scroll. Yeah, pretty much, but.
Three and 37.
Yeah, 3-37. Thank you, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Let me entertainment you.
Yeah.
Are you not sports entertained? Anyway.
Yeah. Drew McIntyre with 6.9% wins.
Damn it.
Jinder Mahal with 5.88% wins. And at the first ever of since I've been doing this, 0% with 13 losses, no wins, no major televised shows either, but still. One Mr. Yoshitatsu.
But he plays a mean guitar.
Yeah.
I'm just glad you didn't say Justin Gabriel.
No. Justin didn't do too bad.
Yoshi, go back to your home planet. And by that, I mean New Japan. They need you.
Yeah.
No. I want him to rehash the action figure thing on actual TV.
But Tyson's a face now.
By the way, Gabriel.
It's okay.
If you're scoring at home, Gabriel was 15-33-1.
Yeah, yes. I knew it wasn't. I knew it wasn't spectacular, but I was just worried he was going to be in the bottom third. So
yeah,
okay. Yeah.
JTG came close though because he was 0-8-0, and so was Curt Hawkins.
Yep, that's and because they
JTG
don't,
actually I, had 8 matches this year.
Yes,
surprise
last year.
And Alex Rowley had 6, and he was 0-6-0.
That tells you, ladies and gentlemen, just how much and how long and how hard these guys actually work.
Exactly.
That alone should be worth the money out of your pocket. So, I hate to cut you off on this, Chris, but we're running out of show.
No problem.
So, before we go, though, Mr. Williams, I'm sure you have a few hundred things to plug.
I'll try to keep it as brief and as succinct as possible. Touch 'em All new podcast coming up sometime next week or just after, talking about the Hall of Fame vote and all the fallout from it and some other news and notes from around Major League Baseball. A little media stuff there, too. Of course, we have the BS Big Show every week as we're in the playoffs now. We've got Pixel Nation coming back. We've got Red State Blue State coming back. We have all sorts of things coming back. So go to CLW83.com. Stitcher.com, you know, player.fm, futility.com, mylittlepony.org,
derpyborough.org.
Exactly, and pony.
Pony.
Welcome to the herd.
I'm not trying to herd! I'm trying to fucking herd!
Stat boy?
Yes, I actually have something to properly plug for the first time in a very long time.
Hooray!
Now, admittedly, this might be over with by the time this gets to air or to the .com, but there is something going on right now, a speedrun marathon called Awesome Games Done Quick, brought to you by Speed Demos Archive. They are raising money via speedruns, video game speedruns, that is, for the Prevent Cancer Foundation, which is pretty much exactly what it says. It is, they delve heavily into preventing cancer and early detection. Now, personally, I've had a few family members deal with it.
No! Where'd you go, Stat Boy?
Come back, Stat Boy. Come back.
We lost the Stat Boy.
Pokey pokey, Josh.
Stat Boy, you leaned on your mute button.
His internet connection went poopy.
Uh-oh.
Go figure. And the one time he actually has something to plug. Well, you tell you what, we'll come back to him, and if he comes back
how
on,
could but this happened to me.
Oh no, you're not going Snow Patrol. No, no, no emo on this show.
Actually, Chris, I'm gonna that might cost you your plug.
Oh
no, no, I'm sorry.
Yes, yeah, no.
Okay.
No, seriously, go ahead and plug your website because I have something to promote, but it's about me, so no big deal. Go on.
Okay, my site, MrCMWaters.blogspot.com. Hopefully, by the time you listen to this, I'll have something else up. It's just been with holidays, two jobs, and the NXT trip. I haven't worked on anything. Oh, there you are.
A wild stat boy appears.
We'll come back to the wild stat boy. Yeah.
Get my master ball.
Please. Because I was in the middle of a great speech and internet crashed.
Yeah, but yes. We'll let you start it up again in a minute.
Okay.
We heard you had family members who have gone through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. So, Jim, whenever you're ready.
No, we haven't stopped recording. We're still going.
Oh. Just keep going.
Yeah. Okay, you can go ahead, Stat Boy. Finish up, and I'll finish up mine again.
Okay. But personally, I've had family members who've dealt with this. My grandmother was a breast cancer survivor for 13 years, and one of my aunts passed away due to breast cancer. So this kind of hits close to home for me. Currently, right now, they have made a crazy ton of money for them. Over $600,000. Yeah, and here's the thing. It's not over yet. They've still got about another day's worth of stuff, if not more. So if you want to donate, go to gamesdonequick.com. Go to gamesdonequick.com. Go there, make a donation, and hopefully change all of our lives. Thank you.
Chris, I know we interrupted your plug with the sudden arrival of Stat Boy, but you said you were going to get more material up.
Yeah, I'm going to try to, but hopefully by the time you listen to it, I have at least one new thing up. But I do have plans for some things. I'm going to have to shuffle my schedule around for it. But it's tricky with 36 hours at one job and then 20-something at another, but I am going to try by the next time I appear on the show.
Okay. I technically don't have anything to plug, although, admittedly, I will say keep your eyes on CLW83.com for our live-to-tape cast. Our immediate reactions to the WWE Network announcement. Of course, please keep listening to our show, and in case you are looking to run into me, I will let you know that I will be attending a couple of shows here over the next 2 months. I will be going to Des Moines on February 4th for the SmackDown tapings. As you all know, I'm going to the Elimination Chamber. After all, it's right here in Minneapolis. Thumbs up. Plus, I will be making my way down to Cedar Rapids on March 1st for what is billed simply as a Road to WrestleMania show. Not Raw, not SmackDown. Road to WrestleMania. So, if you're looking for me, I'm finally getting back into the swing of going to shows while I have the time. And hopefully, dear Uncle Paul won't keep calling me in to help him out on matters, because there was a little flap about Brock breaking kayfabe Mark Henry's arm. So with that, I think I will call it a show. For Statboy Josh Henniger, for Chris Waters, for Jim Williams, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net. I hope you've enjoyed your experience. Please do come back. And in the meantime,
stay pony, my friends.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.